I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Grand Final Preview Week. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Fuck yeah. Just found out that if you have the Epic Launcher on PC, you can download Batman Arkham Collection and Lego Batman for free.
You didn't just find that out. I just found that out.
Yeah, you knew a little while ago, but... The Arkham Collection, if it's got all four, is brilliant, because those are some of my favourite games of the last couple of years.
Yeah, there's good multiplayers, especially playing with the missus, because it doesn't matter if you die, so...
You're talking about the Lego ones.
Is that not what we're talking about?
Oh, both of them, but yeah.
Can you still die in Batman, can you?
Yeah.
I mean, you can die, but you don't have, like, you don't have unlimited lives.
Oh, well, you die, and then you go back.
Yeah,
you
know? So your partner's going to let you down, basically.
Well, in the Arkham series, it's all one player. All of it.
Oh, really?
But in Lego is different, obviously. They're very kid-friendly, but all those Lego games. I know the missus and the kids loved them as well. The Star Wars ones and the Marvel ones.
Yeah.
And play them until their fingers bled.
Yeah, I definitely played the Star Wars ones. That was good fun on multiplayer.
Yeah, they are good multiplayer games, but the Arkham series, they're very good solo. I think they're only solo games, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Asylum, City, and Knight. Okay. So, all three. So, it doesn't have Origins.
Origins, yeah. Well, that's weird. But that's all right. If you're going to miss anyone, that's probably the one to miss.
Yeah.
I think. Knight. I loved all four of them, actually.
Yeah.
Brilliant games.
But I remember a few years back, Lego was apparently struggling to stay liquid. Like they were extremely over-invested. And
really?
Were looking like they might lose a fair bit of cash. And then as a last bit desperate attempt, they licensed their brand name and IP. Yeah. To computer games. And yeah. I think the Star Wars was the first one they did or something.
Probably was.
It was a bit of a last ditch, and now, fuck me, they're rolling in cash.
And they license anything. They don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah. So they start off with Lego the movie or Lego the games?
Games.
Yeah, the games came
definitely
first.
Before the movies, yeah.
Yeah.
Mind you, there's Lego the movie, the game now. So, you know.
It's all come full circle.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And they're smashing it.
Yeah, of course they are. But no, those are great games. I've been getting into The Witcher. Wild Hunt lately, as in I play it every single day for a good hour. So it's like Skyrim. You know, it's a different kind of Skyrim, but yeah, I've been really enjoying that. So anything that's on the Steam sales, you know, this game was released in 2015, so that's where I'm up to now with my gaming. I'm up to 2015.
Yeah. I'm still playing Fallout 4, and I think that was 2015.
Same
2012, 2013. I don't know, somewhere in there,
around about there. Yeah,
a while back.
Do you remember the game Into the Abyss?
Are we talking old Dungeons and Dragons ones? Is that Into the Abyss?
It was just after, I'm pretty sure.
Curse of Azure Bonds?
Yeah, something like that.
Is that what Into the Abyss is?
I think it was Into the Abyss, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember.
Anyway. I still remember the first Dungeons and Dragons on basically DOS games.
Yeah, well, they were DOS games.
Yeah. Best Dungeons and Dragons games ever released, basically.
Baldur's Gate. I remember playing one of those on the Xbox. It was all right once.
Yeah.
All right, Brenton, what's your highlight of the week?
Well, it was a big week in footy, but it's not...
Big week of highlights for a Richmond supporter.
There. Still can't believe Bashahuli's got ripped off another Brownlow medal. Pretty disappointing, to be honest.
Robbed.
It's definitely, if he doesn't get North Smith, then yeah, obviously there's a fix in to get him. But my actual highlights, footy related is obviously, you know, all the real highlights, but there was a bit of UFC on the weekend.
Yep.
But I'm just not going to talk about that.
All right,
it's just a little tidbit. I've just started studying for my Cicerone qualification, which is basically I get to be a certified beer wanker.
Right.
Got a cold, so got no fucking idea about what anything tastes like or smells like. So went to training for an hour and a half today, Learned nothing.
Good.
Yep.
I mean,
it's just like real uni.
Your beard's pretty piss weak at the moment. You better work on that.
Really bit. Yeah, I know. It's one of those things where, you know, when you start studying, then you stop shaving.
Well, yeah, but if you're going to be a professional beard wanker, you need a fucking long beard.
Oh, if you're in a beard, you're already behind on the hipster scale of beer wankiness. It's all about lagers and moustaches now.
Well, I'm going to say clean shaven is going to come back soon.
It is.
for the hipsters.
Yeah.
It's a bit like with talking about UFC earlier. If you see a UFC fighter without any tattoos, that's scary now.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this motherfucker.
Holy shit, yeah.
What a psycho.
Time for tattoos, that means out of training for a couple of days.
Yeah, you know he's got backup plans and a college degree.
Yeah.
So don't mess with that motherfucker.
Yeah. My highlight of the week, semi-football related, we went to the prelim on Friday night. And as you know, I like to play a little game whenever I go to the footy, is spot the Hawthorn player, because I have a thing that I've never been to a game in Melbourne without spotting somebody being another Hawthorn supporter.
Yeah.
And I thought, prelim final, Geelong v Richmond. If I'm ever not going to spot someone, it's going to be this one. So I thought, all right, today's going to be the day I'm finally not going to happen. So we sat down about 10 minutes before the first bounce, looked back one row behind us, Robert Dippy Domenico.
Oh.
And I said to Josh, that fucking counts.
you don't know who's a Hawthorn supporter,
though. How can you be sure?
Well, they did show a Hawk supporter in the crowd of the Collingwood GWS game as well.
I saw that, yeah.
Some lady wearing a hat or a jacket or something to my head, if I remember correctly.
I did see, as I was walking out as well, I saw another old bloke with a Hawthorn membership scarf, and he had 50-odd years on the scarf, so not a bad effort there either for the old bloke.
Yeah, it's become like that random South Sky meme, really.
Random South Sky?
Yeah,
I don't know the meme, I'm afraid.
The South Sydney Rabbitohs, is it?
Yeah.
Apparently, every sporting event ever in the world, there'll be some bloke randomly wearing a South Sydney jersey.
Oh, there you go.
Super Bowl, UFC, you name it.
Now that I know, I'll look for it. I'll bet you I'll see it.
Because fucking Russell Crowe keeps giving out everything.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
I'm not even joking. I was watching a podcast. I think Jim Jefferies is on Bert Kreischer podcast during the week or something like that.
Yeah.
I was listening to it. Yeah, he was saying that you guys are in Hollywood, everyone's got a fucking South Sydney shirt because Russell literally just gives everything away to Hollywood stars.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
All right, we may as well get into the footy because we've got a lot of other ancillary things to talk about around the football, but we'll cover off the two games first. And firstly, Friday night, Geelong v Richmond. So, Brenton, first off, any nerves at halftime? 21 points down.
Well, the thing is, I've got permanent shifts, so I actually had to work Friday night. So I'm following along for the most parts on AFL app, and they fucking terrified me from the first bounce because every time I looked at it, Dusty off with an injury, Cochin off with an injury, some other kind of with an injury. Then it was Dangerfield off with an injury, but I never saw him come back.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm like, shit, this is going to be like 16 a team. This is going to be first AFLX final ever.
Doc Larkin running the commentary there.
Yeah, I was like, shit, just let us know when they come back on, cunts, because it looks like we're fucked.
Well, it was interesting, though, because Dusty obviously did... What did he get, a corky?
Corky, early? Yeah. It was like second play.
He could not kick the ball all night. No, he mongrels all night.
Couldn't pivot. Had no agility, no ability to parry. But, yeah, I was a bit nervous just with the injuries. I knew we'd always have enough energy to get over the line.
Yeah.
But it was just Gary Ablett was killing us, basically.
Oh, was he, though?
Well,
because
we had no one on him, so that obviously didn't help. But.
Well, see, that's the thing. We said last week, the way to beat Gary Ablett is to put somebody on him that will be attacking because he can't cover, you know, the way he used to.
Yep.
And they put Basher Hooley. He'd line up against Gary Ablett.
Yep.
And Basher was just about best on ground.
Yeah, I thought he probably was.
And I thought that's one of the best ways to do it because he was running off. And on a day where Dusty wasn't kicking well, his kicks were beautiful. They were low, they were hard, and they were direct.
Yeah.
Some of the pinpoint passing through the middle, especially from Basher, was...
So was Ablett in that first quarter, mainly, half in general. Just his skills on both sides was incredible. And he's always found a little bit of space and just pinpoint the player running through and always to advantage as well. He was never a stagnant player.
But doing what he does, everyone thought he would do when he went back to Geelong as well. 40 metres out from goal.
Yeah.
You want the ball in Ablett's hands.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how he kicked the first one on the day as well.
But yeah, I was actually surprised that we come out with, got the jump on him, basically, because we're usually a bit slow on the fucking kickoff.
Save for last week, though, Geelong have been worst starters out of anybody in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
So for the Tigers to get the first few, And then give up a big lead is pretty funny, really. But and they got him in bursts too, didn't they, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy Lynch kicked two in a minute.
Yep. Yeah, he did. And that really obviously helps, especially that was the start of the third, I believe. But yeah, was, you could just see them come out of the sheds and they look like they're going to win, yeah. basically. Look like they had it turned on. And as soon as they go bang, bang with Lynch, I was like, all right, it's going to be yeah. fine now. And that's when I was watching the replay. Mm. I was watching on the screen, was not so confident.
Yeah, Jack Reaver was fucking useless.
Well, is it a funny? He, one of the least stat-worthy games that he's ever played.
I thought he'd done a lot of things that don't get stats. Like,
well, there was
yeah. he had a lot of tap-ons to that, advantage. Yeah,
that tap-on to Dusty it was, yeah. wasn't it? Who ran into yeah. the goal square.
But there were a couple that he did that no one ever picked up on, and everyone's like, oh, Jack's doing shit. I'm like, he did what he needed to do.
Yep. Well, the thing was, too, Lynch was killing it.
Yeah.
Absolutely killing it. So, yeah. being at the game as well, you can see that Rewalt was leading a lot and leaving space behind him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
if you're got a two or three-time Coleman medalist being the decoy,
yeah.
things are going okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I think Jack played it perfect. I think he had a great game for what was expected of him.
But that tap-on goal to Dusty
yeah.
was one of the best plays I've seen all year.
But Jack's been doing that for probably the last 8 weeks, I would say. Yeah. He's always looking for that tap-on, let the young running kids get the ball because they're the ones that have been effective.
Mm.
But it was absolutely silver service, though. Like there hasn't been a better ruck tap than that all year. And that was in a marking contest. He was 3-on-1, never was doing anything else but tapping it down to Dusty.
Yeah. And it looked like we just didn't have... they were getting too many easy inside 50s in that first
especially
half.
Especially early, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what really killed us. But our defense was good. It was just controlling congestion and controlling stoppages, which we were a bit lethargic in manning up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we were maybe a bit too attacking-minded. We just need to scale it back a little bit just to get the game in on our terms first before we start really putting the foot down. But once we did, the free flow running through the middle was fantastic. And obviously, Grimes in the back line was amazing. And looking at the VFL game, we've got plenty of people to come in to the back line as well if we need,
yeah,
with some injuries. But well,
probably not this week. But
no,
yeah, I mean, 22 of them got off us from St Kilda, so see how that goes.
Destination club, St Kilda.
Yeah, I thought Presty was fantastic as well. It just getting an initial burst forward, lots of work around stoppages, which, I mean, he gets credit for it, but probably not enough, I don't reckon.
Yeah.
He's an unsung hero.
In the first half too, Dangerfield was best on ground by an absolute mile.
Yeah.
Would he have 18 touches and a couple of goals? Never mind the 50-metre penalty just before half-time. But then I think they sent Caddy to him in the second half.
Yeah.
And I don't think he had an effective disposal. He had 8 touches, but
he
could have gone off at half-time. You wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah. And I thought Caddy had a really good game.
For brilliant.
What do you expect from him? Yeah, I thought he was really good. And he's just our finals player, basically.
Yeah.
They only come good in the finals. And people players like him and Graham had a great one. But also, Soldo, I thought, had a good game of making himself useful around the ground. He put his hand up and did what he was expected to do. It's always going to be tough going up against Geelong Ruckstocks, which, I mean, he's got...
Well, they've got lots of them.
Yeah, exactly.
they're not great, but they do have lots of them.
And what else was good there?
Yeah, I thought Radigalia had a decent game without... He looked like he was almost ready to sort of tear it up.
Yeah, he took some big marks.
He did.
Unfortunately, they're on the wing.
And he got injured a little bit. Yeah,
a little knock. On his calf, I think.
Yeah.
He's a big unit.
Isn't he? And he's still young. I've got a feeling he's only 21, 22 type of age. So, obviously, you know, the media is going to cover that Tom Hawkins wasn't there and they missed a forward target. They weren't. I mean, yes, they do. Obviously, and they would have been a better side with Tommy Hawkins in. But they weren't that badly served.
Yeah.
Because Lockie Henderson took some nice marks in the forward 15 as well. And Radigalia gave them more options.
Yeah.
I mean, having said that, they kicked 9-12. Had it been reversed in 12-9, they would have only lost by a little bit.
Exactly, yeah. Lost by less than a goal.
I thought Graham Myers had a really good game. He made himself annoying and put himself in there.
Didn't he?
Showed heart.
Well, that's it. That's where they were killing Richmond early on, was him and Tim Kelly.
Yeah,
Had
an amazing game, I thought.
I mean, Myers looked like he got killed 7 times in every match, but...
well, that's, you know, that happens with a first-year player.
Yeah.
But I like now that he's owned his kicking style as well.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I'm kicking it around the corner.
This
is what works for me. Matty Suckling's been doing it for 10 years, so why not?
Yeah, it's very true. Also, I thought Liam Baker had a very good game without... He had a very good defensive game.
Yep.
He was like a ninja going across the half back. You're looking at them, look at the player going for the mark, all of a sudden just fly kick comes from the side.
That's what you want. He's got the mullet. You want to play like a 70s back pocket.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, but apart from that, I thought it was a very well... I mean, it was a fucking cracking game.
It was. It was a brilliant game.
Amazing to watch.
What I wonder is how many of those blokes last game in Geelong colours. Like Tim Kelly, he had, what, 3 goals, 31 touches.
Was it really 3, was it? Yeah, yeah, there you go.
He had a blinder. Like, the only reason he's not best on ground is because Basher Hooley had much more impact.
Yeah, I thought so too.
And then you've got, you know, Ablett. Does he get around again?
Yeah. And, well, this is something I said to you, Josh, while we're at the game as well. There were some Geelong supporters that left with 3 minutes to 4 minutes to go. And I'm like, okay, you're not going to win the game from here, probably. Because there's about 3 goals with 2 minutes left or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But a good chance this is Gary Ablett's last game.
Yeah.
And...
yeah, I hung around to see if they cheered him off.
Me too. That's the reason we stayed longer than we usually do, because I just wanted to see. Harry Taylor, very unlikely to go around next year.
Yeah.
Mm. There's a couple of fucking legends.
Yeah, and that's end of an era, especially. I thought Selwood had one of his better games of the year as well. I thought he had played really well, made himself hard in there.
Yep.
He looked like he was trying to do what the rest of the team was failing to do, which was getting that first use of the ball, but there just weren't people out there to help him out.
Yeah. No, it was a very workman horse.
Yeah,
sure.
Do.
I'll run with that.
With that.
Type effort from Selwood, but what you'd expect as well from him. I thought there's been a lot of questions in the media now about why is Blitzarves playing on a wing? You know, why don't you send him to Dusty or you know, put him on Lynch when Lynch is killing it?
See, putting him on Lynch makes sense because he'd get torn up by Dusty, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, when Dusty goes forward.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not in the midfield, but you know, he's a good runner. But, you know, it's all those kind of questions now that, that they've got to, you know, they've got those what ifs and if we onlys and all those kind of stuff. But, I don't know if I really expected Geelong to make the grand final, but it's not a failed year, though, is it, really?
Well,
they're minor premiers.
Yeah, I think being minor premiers and not making the granny is a fail. And every time a team loses a prelim, every year, the questions are asked to the coach, because you've either finished top four, and you expect a grand final appearance.
Yeah,
because even if you finish fourth, you still expect it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you finish in the bottom four of the finals, and you had momentum coming through because you had to win games to get there, and you've wasted that. So no matter how you've come into the finals period, if you're out in the prelims, the questions are asked to the coach.
I know Malcolm Blight always said that those that lose the grand final seem to do it harder than anybody else that loses a final.
Yeah.
You know, and they almost get more scrutiny for going just one short.
Yeah. Well, Buck's found a way around that.
Yeah. Drop out early. But he's, I know, we'll get to that game later. Very exciting for the Tigers, obviously, and to do it with a few injured players out there. And Broad looks like he's going to be okay. He's going to front up. But Graham's already been put a line through his name.
Yeah, he hasn't bothered to give Dr. Helmut Wolfhart a call or anything.
No. And to be honest, you could see that was going to happen when he couldn't lift his arm during the game. But he was really just out there so that somebody else could have a rest on the bench.
Yeah.
But he was a warm body, you know.
Yeah, see, that's one of the ones where if Richmond do win a flag, I hate that he doesn't get a medal.
Yeah.
Because he's helped that team get there and put his whole body on the line to make it happen. And that's one of the sucky parts. If you get admitted, that's one thing. But if you've got injured, and he could have, you know, iced it up in the first quarter and maybe played a granny. But he's instead put the team ahead and gone, I'll put everything in now.
I think that's a little bit doubtful, really, though.
Don't ruin my narrative.
Yep.
I'm going in for bat for my mate, Grazo.
Angus Graham. As he got called on the Triple M after the next day. Yeah, anyways. So that wraps it up for Geelong, and Tigers go through to their second grand final in 3 years.
Who are Geelong looking at picking up in the offseason? There's been a bunch of names thrown
around. Yeah, Jack Stevens is the big one from St Kilda. They were also into a couple of your boys at North, but missed out on them all.
I mean, it should be actually against diversity inclusion to offer a bloke named Goldstein more money. And strange enough, he knocked it back. I honestly thought Higgins would have gone too, but he decided to knock that back as well, which is great for the culture of the club. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I gotta say, there must be a few list managers or whatever at North are going, oh, we're staying. Really?
What? Well, you well, sure? Maybe that's the thing. There's no list manager or director of football or anyone. Everyone's still working other jobs.
Well, they're writing their own tickets then.
Boomer's just in there going, come in, lads. I'll sort you out. These fucks fucked me over.
Wasn't he a runner on the weekend or something?
I think he's going to be a runner next year. Next year, right. Didn't he? They've announced that Boomer's their match day runner for next year.
Oh, he is going to kick about six a game.
All right, on to Collingwood and GWS. I've got to say, one of the most exciting games I've watched for a long time where Hawthorn's not involved.
Yeah.
I was so involved with this game.
Friday night was a cracker. This, I think, one upped it.
Oh, it wasn't clean footy, especially that last 6 minutes. Yeah. Very ugly, but goddamn, was it beautiful.
How beautiful was that play? I think it was Daniels running in the forward pocket.
The goal?
Yeah, the goal. It's like... I think it was Cameron.
It was Cameron that saved it.
The ball above his head.
Handball
in midair before he's hit the ground. Daniel's running by. God, it was just beautiful, clean
and
play.
Always, when they kick the goal and the camera's right behind them,
yeah,
and you see it's just straightened and held its line, you're like, beautiful.
Yep.
Absolutely beautiful. 2 weeks in a row, he's kicked clutch goals.
But it was that burst play. Because, like you said, it was a scrappy grunt game, which I love those sort of games too, where it's just, it's not about who's the most skilled, it's about who's the most determined and who's the most...
Who takes their opportunities.
Unwilling to quit.
Yeah.
And then to have another gear where you can just step it up and have that cleanness with the ball.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Was that
beautiful
little burst in the third quarter, I want to say, where GWS put on a few goals back to back.
Towards the end.
Where they were so clean, and I think Daniels... Stormy, his nickname is, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
He was one of them, and Cameron stood up and he kicked some nice goals, you know, set shots from the boundary, 40, 45 out. Just beautiful leg on some of them. But, they were falling down a little bit too. And I honestly thought, I said, whoever out of Brisbane and GWS gets through will walk through Collingwood. Then with all those injuries and Toby Green being out as well, I thought, nah, Giants have lost this. And it played out exactly the same as the Brisbane game the week before.
Yeah.
Got up, got the lead, and were out on their feet in the final quarter and just held on tooth and nail.
It was crazy, especially with how sort of dynamic the dominance of each team was for a little while. Like, you had Collingwood dominating possession and just looked like they were doing everything. Then all of a sudden, they're nowhere, and GWS are just all attack. And then for a whole quarter, GWS is like, fuck it, put the cue on the rack. There we go. You know when the commentator, I can't remember who it was like, and they're into the grand final, and it's like 2 minutes into the third or fourth.
Yep.
Like, hold on, champ. Hold on.
And then that's where it started. Yep. Yeah. 5 goals needed with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And they just poured it on. You could see, you know, Phil Davis obviously injured himself very, very early on and was playing up forward because he was too much of a liability down back.
Yeah.
But when there was, you know, 3 minutes, 3 goals, he's in the back line again.
Yeah.
So is everybody.
And his injury looked innocuous, but it's like almost an old man injury where you just hyperextend your arm. Like, I've done that before just from laying on the couch and picking up the remote off of the top of the thing. Like, shit, that's not good. Fuck.
I think he said it was back-related as well.
And was it?
Yeah. A little bit of a worry. I think he's on light duties this week, but is guaranteed to play.
Yeah.
As you would, your fucking captain, your side's playing for the first ever grand final.
The telling stat for me, though, was Grundy gave Mumford an absolute bath in hit-outs. Third most hit-outs of all time
I think most in a final of all time. Yeah, and third overall.
Yeah, I think Goldstein had 80 and Sandilands had like 79, 80, somewhere around there.
Wasn't it? Didn't they break each other's record like 1 week after the other or something like that? Yeah, a couple of years ago.
It might have been one day after each other. I can't remember. But it was massive. And it's a Herculean effort. But for his team to not win the breaks, the clearances... That's bizarre, especially with that midfield.
Yeah.
It's class. No one's arguing
not many hit-outs were to advantage, right?
No, that's the thing. Yeah. And a lot of what Mumford did, especially in that last 5 minutes, was just, okay, this ball is not going more than 1 metre away.
Yeah.
He's not going to grab it out of the ruck, and he's not going to thump it. And, you know, he didn't win the hit-outs, but it was one of those ones where he did what he was there to do.
Yeah.
And I thought he did a brilliant job. Still gave away a few free kicks, but not as many as the week before.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting better.
Was it Himmelberg that might have held his ground while moving forward into the back of Grundy? And
Finlayson.
Oh, yeah.
Finlayson. It gave him a fair old push in the back.
Yeah, it was definitely right in the numbers.
Yeah, there's no two ways about it. That was an incorrect call.
I think he did it again not long after it missed.
Yeah, mind you, there was a touch to goal that was a touch behind that was called a goal.
Wow,
so
this is interesting, isn't it? The AFL is just, they couldn't have bungled this more. Even after the event, because, you know, it went through and everybody was listening to the commentators on TV and on the radio. They're like, oh, it's touched. We'll go back. All right, who's going to kick it out now?
Yeah.
Like, What are they doing bouncing the ball?
Yeah.
What's going on?
The wild part is it was the third one. All the others were contentious as well, but they were obvious behind, so they've gone. Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, see the goal. See the fingers moved, it's behind. But this one, you're like, looking at it, you know, yeah, that looks like it's touched.
Well, it was even made worse because Lachie Keefe had bandages on his hand, so it was more obvious. Yeah. And I reckon Heath Shaw touched it too.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought as well. But did you see the actual release, press release by AFL House?
I saw both of them.
Like, holy shit, I've just paraphrased a little bit. The reviewer must be clearly satisfied that there is insufficient evidence beyond reasonable doubt to overturn a decision. Like, video evidence?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something like that. Like, they are the video arc.
But it's just showing up to what a sham that it is. But
yeah,
it's also terrible the AFL, first off, they said, no, it's right.
Yeah, that's what they said. The last paragraph. On this occasion, the reviewer at the time was not convinced the ball was touched beyond reasonable doubt to intervene and overturn the decision of the umpire.
Well, that reviewer gets sacked.
Exactly. He was, like...
He was right a couple of times. Wrong. But he was wrong, that one.
Yeah. I can say, but you don't get points for being 70% right with something that is that clear.
Mind you, we're just talking about the Finlayson one where he's given up a goal with a bad decision. Yeah. That ump should probably be sacked too, but he probably won't be.
But I find that different, though, because that's in the heat of the moment, you've got split second, and it was a wrong call. It was just as wrong. Don't get me wrong.
No, that's fair.
But the other one, you have video evidence. That's your sole job there to do that. And you're in the most comfortable environment you could imagine to do it.
And the only thing you look at is the video.
That's all you've got.
Well, and maybe Gil was just on the go, no, we've got this. We've got an even up now. Just sort that out.
Well, I shouldn't, on my couch at home, have a better view of the incident than he did.
Yeah.
Because I must have had a better view because I could see it was clearly touched.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's there on Sportsbet.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I had this guy on the next goal. Fuck it.
I'm
taking my payout.
For that reason as well, like... Wrong umpire decisions I can take. Wrong video decisions are fucking deplorable.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's been spoken about enough this week, that one. So, Pearl Collingwood, the end of match press conference with Buckley, you could tell how much it hurt. And,
oh, absolutely.
But it wasn't, you know, like when they lost the grand final last year, you can tell he was hurt but proud.
Yeah.
This one, he was just hurt. Yeah. I'm sure he was proud and all that kind of stuff, but to call it a wasted year. Yeah.
I think he is proud, but he wasn't feeling that at that point.
Not at that point. They really wanted that shot at that elusive premiership that sadly looks like it's never going to come for him.
How hurt can he actually be? I mean, you know, after, what is it, 2002, 2003, 2011, 2018, and now 2019, Buckley should be fucking used to it.
Yeah, you reckon? I
mean, the guy repels premierships.
That's all he does.
Plus the three with Brisbane.
Buckley out. Deledio in.
Poor Lids. He's got to go through that this week. So, anyway, any more about that one?
Zach Williams is fucking awesome.
Oh, how good was he?
It was an amazing game.
Yeah, he was absolutely brilliant.
And especially like with all those stars out, I thought he might have been a player that sort of needs that talent around him to really feed off. Nope.
No.
Absolutely not.
He's really coming to his own in the last month. Yep. He's played the best footy. Now he's a weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
This style of game suited him fucking immensely, though. Yeah. Just that grunt. Because he's not the cleanest deliverer of the ball.
No.
He is.
He's got some dash. He's
fucking hungry.
Yeah.
And I love that in a backman. Like a guy with dash who's hungry as hell and isn't afraid to play dirty. Because, you're a backman, you've got to be a little dirty.
If we're talking about dirty, he is not the one at GWS.
No. Like,
he is not in the top five.
No,
he is not in the top 10.
But in any other team, he'd be the cunt.
He's a saint in this one. But it does remind me. That's what GWS was soft in the last month of the season.
Yeah.
But They came out and they were the bullies against the Bulldogs, and then they were, you know, rough obviously against Brisbane as well. Reminds me of a couple of years ago, Brenton, when you said with Richmond, you know, they've got to find an identity, be the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
GWS have taken that and they've run with it. They are the bad guys and they're proud of it.
Well, I was mentioning to you earlier, their marketing scheme seems to be find the Collingwood posters around the joint and spray paint over them with orange is the new black and white.
Well, I saw that at a couple of posters they put up on the bus. I saw them on the bus while I was going to the prelim. The posters, like you said, big orange posters with the Giants logo, orange is the new black and white, and they were up in Collingwood. And not just one.
Yeah.
Like several. I'm like, I love it. I don't know. Yeah. What are you getting out of that poster? You're getting no business. I respect it.
I'm just assuming Toby Green's doing it because he was out there. He's like, fuck you guys.
I'm doing something.
Oh, no. He was doing it like 10 a.m. when no Collingwood supporters awake.
No, I think he's doing it at 5 p.m. as they just come out of bed and is
revs.
Is just staring him down in the eyes going, yeah, I'm fucking putting this up in your ear. I don't give a shit.
No, these ones are up quite high. I don't think Toby could reach. Unless he was putting it up with his feet. You know, putting the glue on studs first.
Kicking them out.
Yeah. Also, I'm glad to see Maine miss a fucking goal for the win.
Well, he only missed it on review.
Very true. They tried their best to get across the line there, but good to see.
Fucking ice in his veins. Yeah, the Tiger supporter would have been shuddering at that one.
Absolutely. Also, Ben Reid, I thought he had some good touches.
I mean, thought he did too.
Coming back from injuries, right?
Yeah.
He's had again, long time out. A little bit out. I thought he's looking red hot.
Well, I did see a lot of Collingwood supporters. No, Reid was good, but Mireshek, I think he touched the ball three times.
Yeah, I think they're all in the last quarter too.
He had a fucking shocker.
He had a shocker. And Lachie Keefe, who was the ring-in for GWS, he was the one that covered him.
Yep.
You got to say, mate, if you're trying to get yourself a grand final berth, not it's a bad way to do it.
Well, they threw De Boer onto Treloar, didn't they?
Well, he spent a lot of time on Pendlebury as well.
Yeah. But I thought both of those guys were kept very quiet.
Yeah.
For their usual game.
For their usual game, exactly. Yeah. They both probably had 25 touches each. However, when he's going through, I saw him running a lot with Pendlebury, and I thought, you know, there were a lot of people saying that that's not where he should go because you can't tag Pendlebury, so go for somebody else that you can tag. I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised that more players didn't sledge Treloar, considering he left.
How do you know they didn't?
I'm sure Toby Green would have ran on just to give him a bit of a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you leave a team for premiership glory and then...
Turn down the Tigers.
Turn down a team that wins it and, you know, had you picked either, you'd be playing in a grand final right now.
No wonder Bucks loves him.
Yeah. Buckley 2.
Yeah. Oh, well, so that's our grand finalist set for this year. It's the Giants and the Tigers. So media this week is obviously going to be Giants slanted because it is the biggest story, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though I imagine they're not favourites with the bookies.
Well, apparently they had people turn up to their training today, which Parramatta got beaten by the Melbourne Storm, so maybe they're expecting some payback.
Well, that's it. They get a lot of free air out in Western Sydney. Not all that much because they still don't really want to wrap their arms around them with the local media, but, you know, more than they might have.
Yeah, just had a banner at the top of the Asia that fuck you by in Sydney. Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they need to embrace the villain even further and start humping dogs and pissing in their own mouth or something. I don't know, maybe that's what you have to do to endear yourself in Sydney.
Yeah, it could be. So, grand final set. What are you doing on grand final day, Josh? Do you know?
I haven't even thought about it.
Haven't thought about it yet? Yeah. No. Brenton, what are you doing?
Going to the game, apparently.
Going to the game, apparently.
Going to the game.
Yeah, I know you are. There's your ticket.
Oh, here we go. Fuck yes.
See?
All right.
We've got a ticket down on level one for
AFLW.
You.
and that's for last year. So
you got to keep reading it. AFLWX.
Ah, sweet. All right.
Yeah, don't worry about that receipt with my name on it. It doesn't matter.
No, it's old news. All right. So where's my seat? Where are you sitting?
You're just.
Fuck, that's a good seat, actually.
You're just the forward flank.
Yep, on the fence.
Just outside the 50.
Barcode number 894765.
On the fence of level one. That's a fucking good spot.
It's not on the fence, mate. Row 00.
Oh, it's near the bar.
Yeah, it's closer to the bar.
Yeah.
It's well undercover.
Beautiful,
but,
beautiful.
But no rain.
I know forecast. People talk about it every year, but what shits me a lot is that the allocations-wise, you've got 40,000 corporate allocated tickets. Now, I don't mind if they're club sponsors or whatever, but it's just... Every motherfucker who's ever thrown a dollar at the AFL gets involved here.
And a lot of it is any tour group that wants to put together a package, you know, when I say any, approved tour groups, but still, it's a lot. You know, and they can say, oh, we'll give you a limo to the game and tickets and free drink. There's $2,000.
Right. It's still the game is still a grassroots game. And GWS didn't sell out their
allocation.
Yeah. Fuck that. They should have started selling memberships Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Guaranteed grand final ticket, $500. Richmond supporters are going to be buying that shit.
No, you'd make too much money.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd be self-funded.
For a year. And who's going to trust a ticket coming out of Western Sydney?
Well, it did. That trip.
Yeah, they've sold 140,000.
It did occur to me as well, because obviously I've got an AFL Gold membership and I couldn't get a ticket. I tried. You know, with the second round, and the second round of offers for non-competing clubs went in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, there was no public allocation at all.
No, but AFL Gold, you know. Yeah. But it did occur to me that I could buy this ticket for $200 and sell it and pay for my membership for the entire year.
Yeah.
You know, just about, but not that I ever would. And I was saying this to you, Brenton, before.
Oh, fuck it, I would.
I would never buy a scalp ticket and I would never sell a scalp ticket because I just don't trust anybody.
Well, you'd buy a scalp ticket because you did and you got fucking ripped off.
Well, technically, it wasn't scalped. That was just your girlfriend not knowing how to use the internet, basically.
Yeah. That was gold class tickets. Yeah.
When you were paying them with iTunes vouchers, I thought that should have probably rung some
bells. What was it? Was the Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon tickets.
It gets worse. Yeah. She actually bought the tickets twice.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we gave them away to some friends who rocked up.
That's right.
Yeah, went to go in the door on my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lesson learned there.
Well, the thing is, they were up and went, these tickets don't work. And I'm like, look at her. I'm like, what side did you buy them from?
Yeah.
And I look at her, I'm like, oh. So I'm like, well, let's not even bother rocking up.
And let's cancel that credit card.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just didn't even bother rocking up. Someone else took the marriage in the forest, kind of.
Yeah. Well, at least this one's Richie Ditch because I went and picked it up myself.
Yep. So whose membership do I have to take?
Nobody's.
Oh, sweet.
Nobody's. Cool. No, it's just the ticket.
Yep.
You always hear that. Especially around finals, they're saying, all right, we're checking memberships. It's like, we can buy guest passes. So,
yeah.
If someone rocks up and they're like, oh, I'm just meeting the guy with the card in there.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, look, don't steal anyone's membership by any means, but if you're paying for your ticket, turn the fuck up.
So, you paid up cold hard cash for it. So,
yeah,
that's a ticket. All right, we want to talk about Brownlow Medal, which was on last night, seeing as we're recording on Tuesday night.
I'm honestly shocked Fife got it.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised as well. But it is funny with Brownlow night. Every year I go, this is boring as shit. I'm not watching it this year.
Yeah.
I tuned in at round 3 this year. So
yeah. I tuned in at round 16.
Yeah, there you go.
I slept.
I still watch it. But
I had Neil, Dangerfield, Cripps and Fife in that order. I thought that was the order it was going to go.
Well, I think you got the top four anyway.
Yeah, I did.
No, well, missing Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kelly instead of Cripps, I think.
Yeah, anyway, he was up there. As the count was going on, Fife, when I was watching, he got like 3 votes in a lot of games where the team lost. And I went,
A lot of games. Like, and there were
3 or 4. I could be proved wrong, but I just went, well, that's
Cripps had some big games and scored 0.
Yeah.
Big fat donuts.
Yeah, in games where Cup lost.
And Freo weren't terribly impressive. No. I mean, the advantage that Freo had, not Fife had, was no one at Freo was really taking votes from him.
Well, see, that's the funny thing, too, because I thought Walters would be up there.
Yeah.
He ended up with 11, I think, and the next highest was Brad Hill on 4. And both of those guys...
Brad's only got 4.
Yeah. Both of those guys, I thought, they should be, you know, 15s.
I do think, though, umpires are not the best people to vote for who's best on ground.
But it's Brownlow. That's what it is.
It's tradition. Yeah. That's fine. But it's also... They're not focused on voting.
No.
Voting is what they think about when they're back in the sheds.
Yeah.
Or even half-time, quarter-time, whatever, maybe, I don't know. Mm. But it's one of those things, like the old slogan was, no one ever got fired for buying IBM.
Yep.
No one ever got ridiculed for giving 5-3 votes.
Yeah, that too.
Or Ablett, or Dangerfield, or me.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a bit funny when Fife got 3 votes in Richmond v Carlton. I thought they were pushing it there, you know, a few of those ones.
Maybe they just really wanted to see him shirtless again.
Well, they got their wish. Of course they did.
Yeah, fair enough too.
Also, it was very funny. I know a lot of people on Reddit posted it, that Fife got a third of the page in the Western Australian paper. He got the whole front page in the Melbourne paper.
Did he really?
Yeah.
There you go.
The West, I think it is called the West, isn't it? The Western Australian paper.
Sure.
One of them.
I think it's the West Australian, but they just call it the
they
West.
They are very pro-Eagles and a little bit negative for
you. Right.
Allegedly.
But
Melbourne papers don't give a shit.
That's right. Oh, Freo holding some coaching auditions.
Yes. Poor old soul. Deeney Solomon on the plane with the woman across the aisle decided to take a photo of his laptop as he was getting ready for his coach's presentation.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is now he happened to elbow in the face and he's out for six matches. So if he gets the job, he still can't get in. It's round seven.
Yeah, that's all right. They're used to it out there. It's what they come to expect from Solly.
Yeah, they didn't dare land the plane, though. The pilot said, yeah, fair enough.
I hope he does get the job, not just for the obvious reasons we like to see a broken ill boy, rising up the ranks, but if he wants to be a head coach at some time, and obviously he does, he's been at Gold Coast for 9 years now.
Yeah.
Fuck that long.
You get tarred.
Tarred, yeah.
Pretty quickly, I think. And yeah, okay, you've got a 10-year career as an assistant coach, but your team hasn't done much, have they?
Yeah,
I think it's almost, you're almost better off being head coach of a VFL squad.
Yeah, sometimes I think so. To be a head coach somewhere on the resume, it helps a lot of people. But there's many different ways to get there.
Yeah, I mean, shit, I'm sure he's not taking career advice from me. But I do think there is a benefit to running your own team, even at a lower level.
Yeah.
And these days, a lot of the VFL squads integrate with an AFL squad anyway.
Pretty much.
But I don't know, never know.
Just got to find another team in Queensland to fucking coach.
Having said that, he's obviously an ex-Freo player as well, so he knows the lay of the land.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure how many contacts are still there from the days he was playing, but I imagine there's a few.
I'm sure he played with Peter Bell. I'm nearly certain he did.
Close, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was...
Because Billy had a long fucking career.
Yeah.
And Solly, I'm pretty sure Solly wrapped up in 09. So. Yeah.
I think Bell left. He started back at Freo again in 2000, I think, or 2001.
There you go.
So
he might not have. Anyway, we'll check that out later
don't
on.
Don't know.
Mark of the Year goes to Liam Ryan, who had two bites at the cherry for Mark of the Year, and I think they gave it to the right one.
Yeah.
Goal of the Year, Eddie Betts. I'll be honest. I had him third out of the goals.
Yeah.
Goals of the year. Liam Ryan got Mark of the Year, but let's be honest, Willie was higher.
Yeah. Poor lad. I thought Willie's goal was better too, but
poor bastard. Like, that's the weird fucking part about that. He tested positive to marijuana.
Yeah.
If you get caught with that, for a start, it's one of the three strikes.
Yeah.
It's not performance enhancing, so
it is on game day. He got caught on game day, and it's counted by Asada and Wada as a performance enhancing on game day.
Well, in that case,
so he's in trouble.
He would have gotten what?
4 months. I reckon he would have got 4 months.
Yeah. And he used blue Gatorade.
No, 4 months for a marijuana. That's maximum, yeah?
No, 4 years is maximum, but the other ones that have been similar in the past, they get about 4 months for marijuana.
Which means he'd be back round one anyway, pretty much.
I think it has to be in competition 4 months, but I could be wrong.
Hmm. Run with that.
Yeah. So was it pre-game or post-game?
Post, I think.
Yeah.
He doesn't fuck around, does he?
But it's not like, and they've got to come down in that way because they want to discourage anyone from trying to fake a sample.
Yeah.
I do think his own stupidity works in his favour here because if you're throwing in, and it was either Gatorade or Red Bull or whatever it was, in there, it's pretty obvious you're not expecting it to pass.
Well, it's hurting more, I think, because these are two different tests they got done for. So the Gatorade one was...
I thought it was the same night.
Right, there you go.
I know it was two different tests. Twice.
No. On the night, he had a blood test that was clear. So the night he filled up the sample with the Gatorade bottle, that was in round 23.
Right.
And then before the quarterfinal against Essendon is when he tested positive for the marijuana.
Oh, jeez.
So what's happened is with the tampered sample... He can claim, I was dehydrated, I was confused, whatever. I was trying to make a joke. I was just,
Jesus Christ, silly. I'm not drinking his Gatorade then.
But when you get caught 2 weeks later with a banned substance, it shows that
he was stressed.
You had something in your system. Yeah. You were worried about something. That means your cover-up might not have been so accidental.
Yeah.
Well, no, because
it's worse.
When he put the Gatorade in there, they tested him straight away afterwards. Like, he provided an A and a B sample from that same setting.
Yeah.
But... Because they've got the sample and went, nah, mate, that's not piss. And so he's actually provided the piss then, as I understand it.
They watch you piss, so they have to watch him put Gatorade into the tube.
Well, yeah, but they can't tell him not to do that. Like, if he does that of his own volition, that's a violation. They can't
They don't go, no, come on, start again.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. You just said they test him straight after.
Yeah, so they realize.
So who does that?
Yeah.
Well, no, they still... pinged him for it.
No, it was a blood test he got done later on. So it was different.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's in trouble. The radar, the bomb.
Fucking oath every day.
It's gone from 40% chance to 20% chance. I think it's down to
zero
on the bomb
chance.
Day.
So,
which as a neutral is great because I want to see the best footy on the day.
I don't understand how this game could play out because it could go anywhere.
Yeah. I've got no
it
idea.
It could be a quick clean game. It could be a hard dirty game.
Yep.
I'm up for either.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm going to make a prediction that makes no sense. GWS can win.
Yeah, absolutely can.
I'm predicting Richmond by 62.
Right.
Because we've had two absolute cracker prelims, which means the grand final is going to be a blowout.
Hmm. Well, this is probably Mumford's last game, I'd say, because the rumour is that Sam Jacobs has signed up to get up there.
I think it's more than a rumour. I think Sam Jacobs has even said it's happening.
Yeah. He's actually turning up in the GWS box.
He was trying to get selected this week. Yeah.
So, I mean, he could eat someone on the field. I'm probably Dizzy Rioli. He looks like he'd be a tasty treat.
Fair enough, Bruce. But, delicious.
succulent. But
just reckon Mummy's worried about his game day test.
Well, see, that's the other thing. Like, Toby Green's obviously back in. He doesn't have to worry about a suspension next week.
Yeah, for
fuck
sure.
Me.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, geez. Someone's going to play a blinder, whoever's on Toby Green.
Yeah,
oh,
regardless, yeah.
Josh Caddy for sure. Cunt on cunt. Go head to head.
Scissor Sisters.
You know, showgirl dancers.
Yeah.
But we could see an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah.
And I love that that's an option.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
GWS are going to play unsociable football, as Robert Walls used to call it. They're going to, because that's their brand.
They're going to play carnivorous football.
And it's worked for them.
Who else do you think could be in the last game? Is Nankervis alive still?
Nank's pretty young.
He's going. Heath Shaw is a good chance.
Heath Shaw is definitely a good chance.
Especially if they win. He even said if I win, they might not be able to find me for a month to find out if I'm playing on next year. I could even tip Heath, even if you lose. I think that could happen.
Yeah.
He'd just be on some Twitter account partying with Libba.
Yeah. On our end, I don't think there's probably a whole lot. I mean, Ellis
not that old.
Is gone. I mean, maybe Koch goes, fuck it, I'm wrapping it up, passing on, but I don't see it happening.
The only way he does it is if Brisbane offers him $1 million a season.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen either.
No.
And to be honest, I can't see Koch leaving for money.
No, I think he'll just be retiring. He's got three kids.
Maybe Lynch just does a Boyd and goes, oh, got mine.
I'm happy I'm done.
Yep.
Yeah.
Could do as well.
Yeah.
Now, the Richmond don't really have anybody close to that retirement age. They've got even their oldest player is probably Basher.
Mm.
And he's playing fantastic footy. So
he's like 35 and killing it.
Yeah,
he just looks 35.
Yeah. He's got less hair. He's more streamlined. He's loving life.
But he's still got 3 years of decent footy in him, without a doubt.
Yep.
You know?
I mean, fuck if he can play during Ramadan like he does without eating.
he's crushing it. There's nobody from that side. From the other side, you know, like we said, Mummy just about definitely. Heath Shaw, more than likely. I think.
How old's Davis these days?
It's still sub 30. It'd be 27.
Because he looks like the mileage is catching up with him.
Well, it did on Saturday because he got a little bit injured. But he's got years left.
Yeah,
he's had a good year too.
Yeah.
Although Toby Green might retire and just decide to become a parking inspector, or
he might get retired. If he gets
prison
too
guard.
Ambitious, he's got to get out of that ground on Saturday afternoon, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, and still get to the airport.
Yeah.
You're not safe once you're out of the ground.
He'll just swing his brass balls around the place.
You walk out of the MCG straight into Richmond.
Punt Road's just an ambush waiting. Yes. But he's the sort of bloke that would just walk up to Punt Road with his Premiership medallion and just go...
and put up more of the posters.
And our supporters are the type of supporters that would slit his throat and throw him in the river.
Oh, really? You reckon? I reckon he's going to march down Swan Street after
the game. Our players are those sorts of people.
Certainly some of their friends.
Actually, see, back on the Brownlow, Swanee took over the Bet365 or BetEasy or SportsBet or one of them.
I think it was SportsBet ads. Oh, sorry, I saw the ads. I didn't see the Twitter.
Oh, and he was actually pretty good. He was getting stuck into everyone. He got stuck into Brennan Favola, saying, good one, Fev, you ruined it for all of us. Everyone's bored as fuck on Brownlow night. And Fev's probably a few frothies deep at home. He's like, good one, Swanee, get fucked.
Well, I did hear Fev was on Triple M when we were at the game as well. He says, every year gets brought up, but I've got to wear it, don't I? Because I did it. They'll bring up.
So he's told.
Yeah. Well, it was Chris Judd who was actually told him about it on the radio. But he's on the Tiger train as well, obviously.
Is he?
Well, Daniel Rioli lives with him.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's dating his daughter.
Holy fuck.
You didn't
Jesus
know?
Christ, I did not know that.
Didn't know that,
if
really?
If I did know, I would have been completely against it.
No.
They should have cleared it with me first, I'm going to say.
As long as it's not the missus.
No, I don't think it is the missus.
Well,
no.
I'd hope not, because that's getting some territory that's not good.
Especially since, you know...
It's his dad.
He's with his daughter.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hold up.
There you go.
So, yeah, as far as the game goes, I think the first quarter is going to be very low scoring until the last 3 minutes where we put on a couple. Then it's going to be a tight-fought contest from there. I think we'll get over the line by 3 goals.
Like I said, I reckon Richmond by more than 10.
I wouldn't be surprised if
party time in the
GWS
fourth.
Get a bit of a lead at some point.
I'm going to buck the trend. I think GWS are due.
Yeah, they're due, are they?
Their drought is ending.
What are they, 8 years in?
I did see if they do win, then Kevin Sheedy's going to present the cup to them, which I thought was
nice.
Great touch.
Also, if Richmond win, it's Maureen Hafey.
Oh, really?
Tom nice. Hafey's, the late Tom Hafey's wife,
yep.
Which I like too, because obviously Kevin was coached by Tom Hafey, right. Would be very close with Maureen as well. So they know each other as well.
Yeah.
To see those two walking out of the cup would be magic.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is too, if GWS do win, they're going to have to stay in Melbourne for 3 days so their supporters can get back home to welcome them back.
Well, we have to say though, Benny the Tosser, who we talk about on it, he's got his tickets, him and his wife, they're coming down for the game.
Mm.
So I know at least two GWS supporters that are going.
I did tell him at four, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, he tried. But anyway, and because people do this, I don't know why, but Norm Smith predictions. It's a tough one.
I've tagged it the last few years in a row. But this one, I mean, I tagged it a few years in a row. I said...
Dustin Martin, and obviously...
Well, Dusty was an easy one. It was Luke Shuey last year.
I said Basher Hooley that year, and I still maintain I was right and the umpires were wrong.
Yeah.
Or the judges were wrong.
Yeah, that's right. I'd say Basher wasn't that year as well. So who do we think? Josh, your microphone's cutting out a little bit, but we'll wrap it up now.
Toby Green. Fuck it.
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
I'm going with Dion Prestia.
Yeah, I think Basher's going to finally get the one he's deserved. All right, that'll do us for this week. We'll catch you on the other side of the grand final.
Yeah, good luck.
Peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.